chapter 16, and we're beginning in verse number 19. There was a certain, by the way, this is the words of the Lord Jesus. If you have a red letter edition Bible, these are words are in red, which are indicative that Jesus is speaking. There was a certain rich man. Notice again, a certain. So there's a specified individual was wealthy, who was which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. He had his needs met in abundance. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. So we have two certain individuals. One is named for us. One is not. I will tell you at the outset that there are those who will take this portion of Scripture and say it does not teach anything about eternal punishment or about torment in hell because it's a parable. A parable is an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. And they'll say this is a parable. However, if it was to be regarded as a parable, it would be the first and only parable in which God refers to someone with a specific name. All other parables don't name an individual. This says there's a certain man who is rich, and there was a certain beggar whose name was Lazarus. By the way, in just a minute, we're going to introduce Abraham. Abraham was a definite historical figure who everyone who's listening to Jesus was aware of and knew. And again, that would not happen in a parable. In a parable, you would not be referring to a historical figure. And if there is no torment in hell, then Jesus telling this story is telling a story that leads folks to believe what is not true. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So let's go back. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, that is the gate of the rich man, in verse 19. And Lazarus was full of sores, verse 21, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, as it will in your life, and as it will in my life, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And being in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So we noted in verse number 22 that two men died. One was said to be carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the other was buried. But yet the next verse says that one who was buried in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. And now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him, that is Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, or five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. In the Greek, in which the New Testament is written, and the book of Luke was originally written in Greek, and now we're reading an English translation, the word for hell is the word Hades. The word Hades is the equivalent word in the Hebrew. So the Old Testament's in Hebrew, New Testament is in Greek. The equivalent word for Hades, which is in the New Testament, the equivalent word in the Old Testament is Sheol. And both Sheol and Hades refer to the place where the departed souls or spirits of men reside in eternity. You look back at the passage again, and the Bible says the rich man was buried. So understand, his body was buried. That's what we do with the body. So the body was buried, was laid in a grave, a burying place. But he, the soul, the individual, was in hell, or a place called Hades. And in Hades, it's apparent in verse 23 that you can see, and you can hear, and you can speak, and you can feel. All of those things are true. So I want to go back now, having introduced you to that. We'll come back here, but I want to go back to the Old Testament. There are two key words, and one of the reasons why there are questions in some people's minds about where the dead go is because there are two Hebrew words that are primarily used in the Old Testament in reference to the place where the dead are. One is, as I said a moment ago, Sheol. The other is Kibur, or Q-U-E-B-E-R. Not sure I'm pronouncing it correctly, but those are the two key words that you find in the Old Testament. The word Sheol is translated in English 31 times by the word hell, 31 times by the word grave, 3 times by the word pit. So when you're reading along and you read the word hell in the Old Testament, you may be looking at the word Sheol, or you may be looking at the word Kibur, because Kibur is translated, the Hebrew word Kibur is translated 34 times, grave, 26 times sepulcher, 4 times burying place, and I just misstated just a moment ago, when you see the word hell, it will always be, in the Old Testament, it will always be Sheol. But when you read the word grave, it may be the word Sheol, or it may be the word Kibur. But Kibur is always the sepulcher, the pit, the burial place, always referring to the body. But the word hell can refer to that physical resting place of the physical remains, or it can refer to the place of the departed spirit. And I want to help you understand that. So note these things. If you're taking notes, you want to jot them down. If you're not taking notes, just listen, and you can check these things out later. But whenever you find the word Sheol, whether it's translated hell or grave, if it is referring, whenever you find it, you will find it is never in plural. So if I'm referring to a grave, I might refer to graves in the plural. You know, cemeteries full of graves, or we went to a place that was marked by many graves. You will never find the word Sheol referred to in the plural. So, in other words, if you find the word hell, it's not going to have a plural significance, so it's not many burial places, it's one place. Number two, the word Sheol, the body never is said to go there. So you never bury the body in Sheol. You bury the body or lay the body in Kibur, which is a grave or a sepulcher or a resting place. But the body is never said to go there. So whenever you find the word Sheol in the Hebrew language, it is never in reference to laying the body there or putting the body there. We hear of people being there, as we do in the New Testament, the word Hades, being in hell, he lifted up his eyes. But you never put them there. The body never goes there. Number three, Sheol never is located on earth. So you never read about a specific location on the earth or in the earth, just under the earth, where you dig and place a body. You never read that in association with the word Sheol. You do with the word Kibar, but not in reference to Sheol. Number four, there is no individual Sheol. So I might say, this is my mother's grave. I can take you to Springfield, Missouri, and take you to the cemetery where my mother was buried a few years ago, and I can refer to it as her resting place, her grave. The word Sheol is never used in reference to one individual. This is Jacob's Sheol or Abraham's Sheol or whatever. Never used in reference to an individual because it is not the grave. A grave can be labeled as an individual, but Sheol is a place, and it is not tied to an individual identity. Number five, man never puts someone in Sheol. Someone may go to Sheol or be in Sheol, but it's never said, for example, never in the scripture when it's talking about digging a grave and burying the remains or placing the remains of somebody who died, it's never using the word Sheol. It's always using the word Kibar, not Sheol. Man does not put someone in Sheol. Man goes there, but he's not put there by man. Man never digs Sheol. But he does dig a grave. And never is Sheol used in sense of a man touching it or having anything to do with it on a physical level, a living man having anything to do with it physically. So literally, the word Sheol refers to a place that is unseen by human eyes where the spirits of men reside when they depart the body. The word Kibar is literally grave. It's the habitation of the body. It's the place where we lay the body to rest. Now, I said already in the New Testament, the equivalent of Sheol, which in the Old Testament, the equivalent in the New Testament is Hades. So we see clearly here in Luke 16 by the story Jesus told that the man's body is buried. The rich man died and was buried, but he is in hell. So we see that distinction. Now, I want to show you one other thing just to make clear that this is the truth. Go with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 27. Don't lose your place in Luke, but Acts chapter 2 and verse 27. Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he's referring back to the Old Testament. And he's quoting from David in the Old Testament. And he says in verse 26, therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Watch, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So notice, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. If you go back to the Old Testament, which he is quoting, the word used there in the Hebrew is the word Sheol. Here it's Hades. So the same portion of Scripture, we read it in the Old Testament, it's Sheol. When we read the explanation or we read the reference to it in the New Testament, it's Hades. Hades and Sheol refer to the same place, the place of the departed spirits of man. Notice, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. What part of the human condition sees corruption at death? It's the body. So the body will not see corruption, neither will the soul be left in hell. So this is a reference to the Lord Jesus, which we referred to last week, and I'll mention again in just a moment. Let me give you a couple other facts, and I'll draw this together. 11 times in Scripture, we read about going to, being in, or coming up from Sheol. Going to, being in, or coming up from Sheol. 22 times we read, going down into or descending into Sheol. Those words are never associated with the grave, with the word Kibar, only with Sheol. So it's a location or place where you can go down into, where you can be, where you come up from. There are conversations in Sheol. We're reading about one right here in Luke chapter 16. A conversation between the rich man and Abraham, because the rich man sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And they have a conversation. In Isaiah chapter 14, I won't take the time to read or turn there, but Isaiah 14, verses 9 through 20, there's a conversation in which the kings of the earth who are dead and buried are having a conversation, because here comes Lucifer, here comes the anointed one, into hell. He's cast into hell. And they're having a conversation about him and talking to him and with each other. That's in Sheol. That's in Isaiah chapter 14. So there are conversations there. There's fire there. The very first mention of the word Sheol is in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 22. The very first time that Hebrew word is used in Scripture. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 22. I'll read it to you. God says, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." Fire is associated with hell. Here in Luke chapter 16, Deuteronomy chapter 32, Song of Solomon chapter number 8, fire associated with Sheol. And you'll find the two words, death and Sheol, linked together 33 times in Scripture. So take your chart, if you would please, with this little diagram that I gave you. By the way, Sheol also is associated in the Bible with sorrows and pains. So it talks about the sorrows of hell, talks about the pains of hell. That's always in reference to Sheol, never in reference to the grave. So what I want you to see is on this side here, the larger circle, we have the circle representing the earth, and up at the top you see the grave. So anywhere on planet earth, we dig a place and we place a body. So the body goes into the grave, but the soul departs and goes to Hades in the New Testament, Sheol in the Old Testament. But in Luke 16, we get the understanding from the words of our Lord Jesus that this place called Sheol in the Old Testament, Hades in the New Testament, has two compartments or two areas. There is the place called hell, and there is the place that is referred to in Luke 16 as Abraham's bosom. Other places referred to as paradise. You remember last week as we closed the service that on the cross, Jesus said to the penitent thief, the one who professed to believe that Jesus was who he said he was, and he asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom, he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And after Jesus rose from the grave, his body was put in the tomb and buried, and when they came on the third day to anoint his body, and they found his body gone. And then Jesus appeared to Mary and he said, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." So where was he? Well, according to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, he was in the heart of the earth. Even as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, even so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. So Jesus went to hell. He went to the place called in Scripture by the term hell, the place of departed spirits, but there are two places there. There is the place that is the compartment for the unsaved, those that know not the Lord. Those are the place of torment, and those that had by faith believed and trusted in God's promise of a Messiah, had trusted in the blood of an atoning sacrifice. As they died, their souls went to a place called paradise, and there's a gulf fixed between the two, and nobody can pass between them. That's what we're reading in Luke chapter 16. Okay? So, Hades, this is all prior to the resurrection of Christ. This is all the Old Testament. And then we're in the New Testament. Before Jesus dies on the cross, he's telling us the story of Luke 16. So we understand where the dead are. Their body is in the grave and their soul has departed either to Abraham's bosom or to hell. But both in the heart of the earth, both in the center of the earth. Then if you turn the sheet over on the other side, we're talking now about the resurrection of Christ. So you see the cross in the center of your page, the death and resurrection of Christ. So according to Scripture, we understand Ephesians chapter 4, that Christ, when he died, went and preached to the spirits in prison. A reference to Christ going into Abraham's bosom and preaching to those who were prisoners of hope, those that are waiting there for his atoning sacrifice on the cross so that they could be taken to heaven, so they could be joined with the Father. And so he went to the saved compartment of Hades and he preached there and he was there. And it was from there that he led the saints that had been accumulating there. He led their souls to heaven. He atoned for their sin and made it possible for them to enter into the presence of Almighty God. And so this compartment that was gathering the souls or spirits of the saved has now been emptied by the risen Lord Jesus, and now they are led by him to heaven. In Ephesians 4, again, it says he led captivity captive. So they were captive waiting for their deliverance. And he led them captive as his to heaven. So Ephesians 4, I don't have time to go to those scriptures, but I'm giving it to you. We may come back to it later. Those who have departed from their body and gone to the place called hell, those who are unsaved, have no relationship, no justification by faith in Christ, they are still here and are awaiting a resurrection of their body. But their souls are in hell and suffering and experiencing what Jesus tells us about in Luke chapter 16. And it's these who are given up in Revelation chapter 20. When he said, I saw the sea give up the dead which were in it. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And death and hell gave up the dead which were in them. And they were all judged according to those things written in the book. So they will be here until that day. And then, having been condemned by the record of the books and by the fact their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, and whosoever's name is not written in the Book of Life is cast into the lake of fire. So that is a simple or a quick and simplistic explanation of what the Scripture says about the where are the dead? The answer to Job's question. A man lives and he wastes away. He gives up the ghost. Where is he? If he dies, shall he live again? And clearly we established in John chapter 5 that Jesus said the hour is coming and now is when the dead, all they that are in the grave, shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth, some to the resurrection of damnation and some to the resurrection of life. So the dead still exist. Their bodies sleep. The dust is returned to the dust. They await the resurrection of God and to be reunited. But the soul, the individual, continues to exist. He has an eternal soul. And you and I will exist for all of eternity, either in heaven or in hell. That's the Bible answer. There's no question. There's no philosophy. There's no figuring out. The Bible teaches that the souls that departed in the Old Testament went to the center of the earth, a place divided where there was a gulf fixed between them. There was hell, which was the place of the departed dead outside of Christ. There was Abraham's bosom. Abraham, by the way, what's Abraham known for? He's the father of faith. We are called as New Testament believers the children of Abraham. We have followed his example, accepted by faith God, and God has justified us on the basis of our faith. So they were there and they were waiting. Now when Christ had accomplished their atonement, he came and got them and took them to heaven. And now everyone who dies as a believer is immediately with the Lord. The Bible says in the New Testament, to depart and be with Christ. To depart is to be with Christ. We don't We don't go anymore to a place of waiting, for Christ's blood is atoned. The blood has been sprinkled upon the altar in heaven, and we now have immediate access to our eternal home. Our body will be resurrected one day, and our spirit reunited with our body, be given a glorified body, but we go immediately to be with the Lord. However, those who are dying without Christ are going yet to the place called hell. Hell hath enlarged itself, the scripture says. There are three or four things in the book of Proverbs that are never satisfied. Hell is one of them. Never satisfied. So every one of us in this room is going to die, unless we are privileged to be alive at the return of Jesus Christ at a moment called the rapture. The Bible speaks of a time when the Lord will appear not visibly on earth, but he will come in the clouds, and there will be the sound of a trumpet, the voice of the archangel, and all of the saints will immediately, instantly be taken. So if it happened right now, anyone in this room who was born again by faith in Jesus Christ, you and I would immediately be with the Lord Jesus in heaven. And then would come a time of trouble, and then will come a time of trouble on this earth like the world has never seen before, for a period of 7 years called the Great Tribulation. But you and I will be with the Lord. Those that are in the grave, the Bible said, those that sleep are going to precede us. They're going to come up. We're going to join them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I wish I had time to go through all those scriptures. I don't, but we're not done yet. We'll come back to this subject. So I ask you this question. Have you ever wondered? Are you wise enough to be like Job, to wonder when a man gives up the ghost, where is he? And if he dies, shall he live again? And I say to you, God has given us abundantly clear answer to that question. We don't have to live in wonder. We don't have to try to figure it out. We don't have to search the philosophers in the books of the world. The Bible gives us clearly an answer, consistent Old and New Testament. Where will you be? You will be somewhere. And the Bible says you will either be in heaven or in hell. And those in hell will ultimately be cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. The difference is, has your sin been atoned for by the blood of Christ? Did you receive the gift of God, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord? He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And that's a terrible thing. That's an awful thing. I urge you today, if you are not at all certain, make certain. If you need more help, if you need more answers, if you need more scripture, then come and see me or talk to someone, but make certain, for you are going to live forever. The only question is when. The only question is where. Let's pray. Father in heaven,